Happy Friday. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We have moved through most of our normal Friday stuff today. We took calls at 12:25 and we were asking folks if you thought that the Donald Trump campaign strategy right now is a smart one. And people are suggesting that maybe Donald Trump isn't doing enough in order to fully compete in this campaign. I think a lot of people are, what did they say, 19 days that Kamala Harris has been the nominee? Is that about right?
That sounds about right.
19 days that she's been the nominee and that Donald Trump hasn't been out there fighting back enough. And what do you think about that, Ryan? Are you wanting him to do more?
I don't know how he does a lot more. He's doing the same thing he's always done. I guess the criticism is that he hasn't adjusted his strategy as much. But this is such a late in the game switch. Maybe the RNC should have been more ready for it given Joe Biden's state. But I don't think Trump's really done anything wrong. And he is getting on board with this switch now. I mean, his attacks of Kamala in the first week and a half were kind of all over the place. We saw in that press conference yesterday, they are getting more pointed about what she's good at, what she's not, especially with Tim Walz now. He's given them new fodder. So I don't really think that they've done anything wrong.
What about you, Brad?
I don't disagree with Trump's strategy at all. I think that, like you were saying earlier, that you got to keep your powder dry for whenever the hits matter, that you've got to let it kind of breathe a little bit. Kamala Harris was going to have momentum being the VP pick because the Democrats were so incredibly depressed with Joe Biden. I mean, you guys remember how down they were on that? And then whenever they did that, that was like getting a pardon from the governor on a death sentence. They're like, oh, gosh, oh, we got a chance. And going from not having any chance at all to having a chance lit a fire under Democrats. They were excited about it. There's nothing Trump could have done in that moment to jump in there and stem that tide. There's not an explosion big enough, an arrow big enough, or whatever that he would have in his campaign quiver that would be able to have stemmed that tide. So he decided to let it burn itself out, and I think that was the right decision. Now, he can't keep letting it go. He's going to have to go in, and he's going to have to get involved, and I think yesterday's press conference was the first salvo of that. But yeah, he definitely, I think he's fine. I think he's doing what he needs to do.
You want to look at some polls?
What did you say?
Do you have the rolls?
Oh. If you said polls or something, though,
CNBC.
Like, yeah, I'd be cool with that.
Shh. Let's get this over with. CNBC, August 8th, yesterday. General election, Trump versus Harris. Trump up plus two. Rasmussen, Trump up plus five. Marquette poll. What do you know about them? Nothing.
They're in the pack.
General election, Harris plus four. NPR, PBS, Marist poll.
NPR Marist favors Democrats.
PBS.
Yeah.
Harris plus three. Those are from Tuesday. And then Monday, these are all general, Trump versus Harris. An INI tip poll, Harris plus one. Survey USA, Harris plus three. Morning Consult, Harris plus four.
Morning Consult is a terrible poll.
Well, my point here is that the best that Harris does right now is plus four. Rasmussen on last Thursday, not yesterday, but the Thursday before, had Trump plus five. And then Tuesday, July 30th, so that's a week and a half ago, Harvard Harris poll, Trump plus four. It feels right now very much like Kamala Harris has the most positive attention. You can't look at the way Donald Trump is covered. It never feels positive. You really generally, as a supporter of Donald Trump, can gauge how well you think it's going by how much the left is pulling their hair out.
Yeah, that's very true.
When I was on vacation and they shot at Trump, and then the convention was happening, and it was going so well, and people were talking about how well produced the convention was and how much hope there was that was provided by it. And I even tweeted out, like, I feel so good about this news cycle right now. I'm watching MSNBC. And it was funny to watch them because they were distraught. Mm-hmm. they were a mess. Van Jones on CNN was like, we're in trouble. this is a problem. Okay, well, that moment passed, and now there's a new moment in here, and it's been all Kamala all the time. All the positivity that is coming out of this Kamala Harris freshness and the Walls pick freshness, they're going to go into a DNC convention here and probably, you would think, get a tiny bump out of that. But if they have protesters all over their convention talking about freeing Palestine and telling Kamala Harris to stop the genocide, that's not, they're not going to have the smooth sailing convention that is going to be all sunshine and roses that the Republicans did, unless they've done something dramatic to implement security around the convention, which looks like police officers and fences and walls in Chicago. I don't feel like the convention is going to have the bump that the Republicans had at the moment. And right now, while it is more Harris exposure from a manufactured produced kind of element, the best she can do is morning consult plus four. If Donald Trump is saving the rounds in the chamber right now for a later time, then it's probably inflammatory. It's obviously metaphorical. If he's waiting to release all of this opposition research that you know that they have, there's plenty to talk about with her. She's going to have to go out in an unscripted fashion at some point. She does have to. She has to. And then we'll see what the media chooses to tell people about it, if they choose to tell people about it. If these numbers were bigger in favor of Harris, you know, most of these are inside the margin.
Thank you for bringing up polling.
Good.
The morning consult poll, since you mentioned it. That poll did swing states. It had Harris up by 12 in Michigan and Trump up by 4 in Pennsylvania. That makes zero sense to anyone. Some of these polls that have come out since she has launched her candidacy are just total nonsense.
No, they're not. Well, they are nonsense in the way that polls are nonsense. They're being used to manipulate people.
Yes, they are.
Which is why I hate them.
Some of them are good and some of them are not. And some of them do genuinely show that she's had a bump, especially with Democrat kind of outcast voters who are coming back home. And that's where you see a couple numbers rise. But that's about it. And I want to just say, I think at this DNC too, when this happens, she will be, like you said, she will be on script. It'll be very polished. I think it might be the turning point for the campaign, because if anybody's going to actually tune in to hear Kamala Harris, that'll be the moment. Oh, this is her big speech. They will realize that even if she does great, she's still not that good.
Just horrible to listen to.
She's just not good to listen to. I don't even know what kind of points they're going to make other than Donald Trump is terrible because they have no policies. But that moment could be kind of the reverse of what they're looking for it to be, because she's just so unlikable. And I think that is going to be a big surprise to Democrats, that this DNC may not be what they think it's going to be.
I just think it's worthy of note when we're looking at the campaigns, of course, the polling that they're going to use to make calls on which direction they go next are generally internal polls, which is different than what is discussed and pandered about on news shows like ours. So, do I trust the Trump campaign? I don't trust them any less than I trust the media to take these numbers and try to manipulate people with them. Edward asked on YouTube, since talking politics is your guy's job, do you hate talking about it in your free time?
No, I don't mind it at all. In fact, it comes up a lot because it's our job and people know that we are interested in it and they can talk about it with us. So when somebody brings it up with me, unless they're trying to report something to me that we've covered 5 days ago and I'm like, well, yes, I do already know that. And they're telling me like it's new information. I love talking about it, though.
Yeah, I appreciate when people talk to me about it, and they like, it seems to me a lot of people that want to talk to me about it off air are asking my opinion on something, and I'm humbled by that. It's like, okay, you think that my opinion's important enough to get what I have to say on that. So, A, thank you for that, and B, they have like a lot of questions. I think the opportunity to help them calm down a little bit is really, it's actually a blessing.
I get approached very often about, you know, in social settings, people generally bring it up, and I don't mind having those conversations as long as the conversation is not happening in mixed company where we don't understand where everybody is politically. Mm-hmm. Because it's never my intention to, in my personal life, be as bold or aggressive in positioning as I would on my show. Because here I am talking, and if nobody's listening, then I'm not offending anybody. If everybody's listening, whoever tuned in, you chose to do this. You can turn the station off or the app off or the stream off just as easy as you turn it on. So in a more personal situation where it's an actual in-person conversation, you know, I don't ever presume that people know what I do for a living. So, you know, I don't know where everybody is politically, and I don't want to offend anybody just because you think something different politically than me. That doesn't mean that I will like you any less, although I haven't always found that the return, the opposite of that, is always true. People find out that you're conservative and then they don't want to be associated with you anymore. So it really depends on me, like what the setting is.
It's funny because so much of what we do is just talking about politics that I think without trying to, we kind of know how to frame our thoughts and even sort of message. And when you go outside of this setting and you're just talking with somebody, it's exactly like you said. You kind of need to know who you're talking to know how to say the same thing. Because if you're talking to a group of Democrats, you're not just going to lead with like MAGA stuff. You're going to talk about policy. But if you're talking to a group of people who are already all, you know, I have a guys group that I go to sometimes with church, and it'll veer into politics pretty often just because people just talk about whatever. And I know that they all kind of lean the same way. Well, I'm going to talk about stuff differently with them than I am in a different group.
What are the issues that come up the most?
It's usually the biggest news of the week. So it's stuff that's happening right now. It's not, and so my assumption is then these are people who are fairly plugged in. Even if they're not listening to 97.1 all day, they know what's going on. And they're concerned about their businesses and their houses more than anything.
Money.
They're concerned about money. They're concerned about their jobs. Because some of these guys do run businesses and stuff. And they're like, look, things have just gotten harder. I don't want them to continue to get harder. And they're just concerned about that stuff. They're not like wringing their hands over it, but when they're talking about it, it's always got that air of kind of danger that, man, what could the next 4 years look like for me and my family? Because I got employees, you know, some of them just have regular jobs. What's this going to look like? Are we going into a recession? Was a big talking point the last couple of weeks. People are worried about it, and it colors everything.
It's like you have to encourage people to have these conversations. You have to be comfortable. I'm encouraging other people to be comfortable having these conversations. I certainly can take that advice myself. We all need to be more bold in our willfulness to do it, but I think we all need to try to approach it in a way where people are like, oh my gosh, you're not like raging mad about this.
Yeah, totally.
And I think that's part of the way that we win. Let's take a quick break. More Annie Fry Show around the corner. Are you a cat or a dog person? YouTube live chat poll for today. If you go to the Annie Fry YouTube poll, you can see that and vote. Are you a cat person, a dog person, both or neither? Doc says dogs only by far. Chris says dogs, not fond of cats. Meh, I don't like how they smack sweet. And then this pop-up came up. Innocent pups, stop it, LOL. All right. Smack sweet innocent pups. Does that happen a lot?
Do cats hit dogs, Brad?
Oh, yeah.
There's a video that was just on the internet, and I don't think it was our local bear, but there's a cat sitting on some steps, and this bear like kind of saunters up to it, and the cat turns around and looks at it. Bear doesn't go away. Bear leans a little bit further, and the cat just goes whack right on the bear's face, and then the bear's like, whoa, and leaves. Man. Let us know what you think. Annie Fry YouTube channel. We'll be right back. Welcome back. So I love etiquette. Answer this for real. Set the jokes aside, Ryan. For on a scale of 0 to 10. Yes, try real hard. Just give me your serious answer and then you can go into your joke.
Okay.
I need a number before you say anything else.
Okay.
0 to 10. 10 being huge, huge deal to you. How important is participating in and observing proper etiquette to you?
Solid 5.
Pretty don't much care at all.
Right down, yeah. I'm not going to say there's nothing.
Emphatically
but I'm not
disinterested.
Say, yeah. It's right there in that shrug zone.
Brad?
Yeah, I'm about a 6 or a 7.
Okay. I unfortunately am a 10.
Yes, you are.
My grandmother raised me that way. She was from Australia. I've talked about my grandma before. Met my grandpa as he was serving in the United States Army in the same building in Australia that General MacArthur was in, which is pretty cool. And my grandmother, Norma, was serving the Australia military, and that's how they met. She was incredibly proper, very, very emphatic on the pleases, the thank yous, the may I's, not the can I's, and always correcting grammar. And so that's just been ingrained in my life for as long as I could possibly remember. Miss Manners is one of my favorite things to read because it's all about etiquette and what is socially polite and appropriate, but Miss Manners is real sassy. So it's like she's correcting people snarkily, and I just find enjoyment in that. This is one that was about a coworker, so I wanted to know what you guys think about this. What is the protocol in responding to a joke that is repeated ad nauseum? And tell me if you've ever had an experience like this with a coworker. I have a coworker who says each and every time she returns from the office restroom, gee, I forgot my coat and gloves, or I forgot to bring my parka, or some other inane comment referencing the temperature of the bathroom. Yes, it's cold in our office bathroom. I don't think my coworkers and I should have to politely smile, laugh, and agree with her every single day, multiple times each day. The obvious solution is to ignore, which I do. My coworkers are much more genteel than I am, and they smile, chuckle, nod in agreement, then roll their eyes and complain when she isn't around. Perhaps there is some clever thing to say to put an end to it. This is so relatable.
Yeah, it is. Do you have an answer to this before I go? Because I have I know exactly what I do in this situation.
I know what Miss Manners says, and I think that I would have done something similar to the answer she gives.
Okay. If Nancy comes back from the bathroom every day, is doing the same joke.
Don't talk about her on the air.
Whatever. Let's say her name's...
We don't know any Nancy's. We don't know any Nancy's.
I made up a fake name. It's like, just, oh, shoot.
Yeah. I just watched you run through a list of names in your head.
I was just joking with you. We don't know a Nancy. I don't think. Like, I mean,
oh, shoot, did I offend Nancy?
There might be a Nancy over there. I don't know. She's not here.
Yeah. So let's say that Diane is coming back from the bathroom, does the same joke every day. I can tell you exactly what I do. I go, Diane! And then I might clap a little bit, and I'm like, you. That's exactly what I do.
Are you doing that to make her stop?
I'm doing it to make a joke out of her joke. Hopefully it makes her laugh, and then also it makes her realize, oh, I'm saying the same joke every day. I think it works.
Brad?
I don't. I ignore it. It doesn't bother me. Like I'm not even considering what I would do in this situation because it would just become noise in the background at some point.
I don't know that you, in my understanding of your resume, have ever had to sit a 9-to-5 in a work cubicle-like environment where you have to deal with the same people in the same routine every day over and over and over again. You've taught, and that's like kids, which is its own kind of annoying.
Yeah, it's a different kind.
But you've never had to deal with that too much. This is probably as close as you've gotten to it.
Yeah, this would be as close as I've got to that.
Miss Manners says...
And this is what you would do.
Yeah.
Is this what you do? Do-do.
I do not do-do.
Do you poo-poo?
Treating a joke as if it were meant seriously is the best way to diffuse it. In this case, Miss Manners suggests... Oh, no, we thought we asked management to fix that. If you need to borrow a blanket, though, I have one in my car. That's a little forward, but like...
That's a little sassy.
Yeah, I told you, Miss Manners is... She's good.
Some snark.
She said, eventually your would-be comedian will get tired of explaining the humor to you and find another target. But I think that like...
I like it.
Taking it seriously so that when they're making the joke over and over and over... I mean, if you just don't think that the first joke or that they say it and maybe other people are around that hadn't heard it last time... if they're doing it to the point where it's every day and they're requiring your affirmation of humor, just go in and be like, oh, okay, yeah, let me call maintenance and we'll get that taken care of or something like that. Like, address it. And then when they have to explain it, maybe you've made a longer moment of it that you can't come back the next day or later that afternoon and say the same thing.
I like it. I think it's a good answer. Good answer. I'm locking it in.
Lock it in. Here is another Miss Manners. And it goes along
with... I think I've got one that I want to share with you guys after this, too.
Well, okay. Let's do this one first.
Yeah, please.
This one goes along with today's poll.
Okay.
On YouTube, on the Annie Fry YouTube channel, go vote and tell us, are you a cat or a dog person? Cat, dog, both, or neither? And I'm looking right now, and there's a plus 50% on one of them right now. So, dear Miss Manners, my husband, George, insists that we thank our sweet puppy when he follows directions.
What?
I explain that I do not believe thanking a pet is necessary, but I would be willing to send an inquiry to Miss Manners, who is the authority regarding etiquette. George responded, these are retired old people. George responded that he did not believe Miss Manners is an actual person.
Miss Manners might be AI now.
Can we act this out later for video? She's not even a real person.
We are acting it out right now on camera.
And is more likely a group of people in an office. He then went on to explain that even if Miss Manners is, air quotes, real, she isn't the authority in all areas of etiquette. My question for Miss Manners are, what is the appropriate amount of time for George to sleep in the doghouse? And does etiquette require that I eventually allow him back into our house? That's a wild ride.
Wow.
But the initial question is, how do you handle a husband that insists that we thank our sweet puppy when he follows the directions, and a wife who's like, we don't need to thank the puppy? Whose side you got?
I'm sitting down with both of them and I'm telling George, your wife is right here. George, you need to cut this out, buddy. And find a different hobby. If you're that concerned about this, you need something else to do.
And then when he stops it, do you thank him?
No, I still don't. And I'm not cleaning up after him either.
Have you ever been around older couples that have a very happy, loving marriage, but all they do is argue? Or they bicker.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they're not even bickering in a way that is really mad. It's just how they talk.
Yeah.
Is that inevitable?
No, I don't think it's inevitable, but it is probably the most, like, water takes the path of least resistance. That's probably where you're going to end up. That's probably where we're all going
to
end up.
If you're retired for 30 years together in the house and you don't really go out and do as much anymore and you're just around your annoying partner who thinks you're an annoying partner, you start scooping all the words on Wheel of Fortune because you've already seen that episode three times. You're like, the next word is dill pickles.
Man, hopefully a really good conservative radio show comes along middays when we're that age. And we can just tune in.
Like, listen to these kids, George. Yeah.
George is like, you thank that radio.
She keeps complaining that she turned 40. Yeah, exactly. You want to hear what Miss Manners has to say about this?
I do.
George is a brave man to take on both his wife and Miss Manners, but a foolish one to disparage the authority who was about to sympathize with him.
Oh, no, Miss Manners.
Not to vindicate him exactly, but to sympathize. Aside from the silliness of your alleged argument and your satisfaction of getting Miss Manners to notice such silliness, it is good to be in the habit of giving thanks, even when not strictly necessary.
Wow. The dog does not care. It's the tone with which you say it.
Do you thank Poe when he does a good job? Do you talk to the dog?
I tell him good boy when he does a good job.
Good boy is a pretty standard issue.
I say that to Brad.
Yeah, when he does a really good job.
We get done at three and I'm like, that's a good boy.
It's reinforcing the behavior that you want, but I don't look at him and say, thank you.
Does your wife?
No.
Thank you. Would you like some Grand Poupon?
Do you say, are there any other sorts of communications that are maybe a little bit more than master pet communications?
Like in a situation or just like...
I'm not putting parameters on the way you talk to your animal.
I've had conversations with my dog.
Yeah.
But they're just completely sarcastic.
Did you ever talk to your dog?
Not in the same way that Brad's talking about having full conversations with the dog. No.
What about the cat that you locked in the basement?
Well, I would talk to that cat. That cat.
I thought you said it died of loneliness.
It did, because that's why I felt bad. I would sit there at the door and I would just scratch. It'd scratch on one side and I'd scratch on the other.
Ryan, I talked to my dog Rosie. I actually think this is something I've said on the air before. I have a theory that we humanize our dog, our pets, like ones we've had in our dreams. That we like. There's a character that plays your animal, your pets in your dreams. You get to know them a little bit. I think it's fun to think about.
Okay.
My Rosie is an Australian Shepherd, and she likes me the most by far. But Jared's been walking her in the morning, so I'm afraid I'm going to lose out on that. But I'm also not going to get up and walk her before he walks her. So, but yeah, I don't. There's no requirements of how other people need to talk to the dog, and I've never really like tried to really express gratitude to her for behaving. It's kind of weird. You want to tell your situation, or you want to do it when we come back?
I want to tell you right now, because this is a real office situation that I had to deal with for years.
Here?
No. There was a person in the cubicle next to me for a long time who would get frustrated with something they were working on, which happens to everybody, no big deal. But they'd get frustrated, and it was like they needed somebody else to verify, I hear that you're frustrated. So he would go, and then just sit there. And about four or five of us would all hear it, and he's
when
just...
When you say cubicle... Are you in easy view of each other, or are there walls separating you? Like, did you have to like lean around the wall order to see him?
Yeah, I could. I would have to stand up and look down into his cubicle to see him.
You should just do the noise back, but louder.
Well, it gets to a point. I think I probably did that, and it didn't matter. The guy would just get frustrated at something and would just make some loud groan. Or the opposite, something really good would happen and he'd laugh real loud, like, but, and they just wait. Like, somebody has to approach me about this. And everybody got to the point where nobody would. And then you just sit there going, when's he going to stand up and tell everybody anyway?
That is something that annoys the heck out of me when people are like trying to get your attention, but they won't just get,
Yeah, just say it.
Just
say it.
Just do it. We're all busy people.
Yes.
You want me to know something? You want me to react to something? Say, hey, Annie, check this out, and go into it. I do this with my kids all the time. They I talk about one of them, and she's always coming up to me and being like, so you're eating an apple? And I'm always like, no. But I'm like holding the apple, eating it. And there's a lot of statements, and it's like obviously what she's and Charlie, I'm gonna call it Charlie because he's at school. When Charlie wants to play video games, he knows that video games exist only after everything else is completed and we're happy with him. So
that's important.
He does his tasks that he thinks he needs to do, and then he'll just come up and he'll like sit down by me, like, hey, mom. I'm like, hi, Charlie. And he'll like, need anything? Anything I can do for you? And I'm like, no, I think I'm good. Thanks for offering. And he'll be like, okay, I feel you tired. I'll be like, you're not going to play video games, or do you want to play video games? One or the other, whatever it's going to be. But I'm always like, come right out and say it. Hey, mom, I'd like to play some video games. Is there anything I can do to earn that? And you should, before you do that, since he's 14 and a half at this point, since you are that old now, you should know the top five things that I'm going to suggest that you need to have done before you would ask that question. So do those things and then just come ask the question. Otherwise, I'm just going to live in this 45 seconds to 2 minutes where you're just being real sweet to me. Because it makes my heart happy. And then it's
so you do want him to do that.
I want him to mean it, Ryan. I want it to be about me, not about Fortnite. That's what I want. But it's gotten to the point.
So it's all about you.
Yes, in this instance it is, because he's going to move out of my home in a few years, and I'm clinging, I say. But it's gotten to the point where when he sits down, he knows what he's doing. I know what he's doing. I'm working on the computer. He sits down next to me on the couch. He's like, hey, mom. I'm like, hi, Charlie. And then we go through our thing. And he's so, I don't know if he's scared to ask. He's scared to hear no, is really what he's scared to do. And so he'll stop asking questions. He's like trying to pick his next move. And I'll just turn my head and look at him. And he like does that thing where his mouth gets real big because he's trying really hard not to smile. And I'm like, is there something you want? And he's like, no. He just goes on and on. All the kid wants to do is play Fortnite. Just come on and ask for it, kiddo.
We didn't really solve the situation in the cubicle, though.
What was the solution that you picked?
There was never one. I ended up leaving the company.
The solution is to quit or die.
I guess that's where we're at.
I think you just don't give in.
I didn't.
It's not worth being like, you know, when you're huffing and puffing over there, people are annoyed by you. That's too much to explain.
Yeah.
Then you sound petty.
Yes.
Isn't it amazing all the things we construct in our, like the battles, the wars that we're engaged in our minds? And then you find out later that person just had like a condition. Like CF, where they were coughing all the time or something like that. And you completely misconstrued
God forbid.
It. Yeah, Ryan Wiggins has had COVID for 4 years. And then you find out, didn't you say you have a card that says...
I have a card that just says cystic fibrosis on it.
You just like drop it like it's an FBI badge.
Oh, shoot. Look at that. I've got it on a lanyard now.
We'll be right back. Don't go away. Welcome back. So every week we go through, it seems like there's some sort of big... When did they announce the walls thing? Was that this week?
Tuesday.
Tuesday?
Yeah, it's been 3 days.
It's been 84 years. Yeah. What happens next week? What's the big story next week?
I think the big story is that one of us is going to pass out from exhaustion and the other two of us will have to report on it.
Okay. I'm not passing out from exhaustion.
Well, then it'll be me and you guys will have to report on it.
What if we don't? What if we're just like, hey, Abby, come get Ryan.
That seems really insensitive.
It's just, you hear a thump and I reach over and mute his mic and we keep
Ryan's
going.
Ryan's laying on the floor over there going like this.
But I adjust the camera to tilt downward first just to be sure that you guys see it. Because I'm really just doing it for attention.
I don't know. Ryan just said the story on Friday last week and he said we're supposed to ignore it. So.
While you guys are talking.
I mean, aren't we at a place now in the bazillion ways that you can communicate where if you got something to say, if you need something, boy, am I working on teaching my girls this. Because when I remember growing up and girls were supposed, there was kind of a, I think a self assumed thing about girls, you shouldn't necessarily be forward and open and asking about things that you want. This kind of like a feministic way to look at society, but I think that there's something to that. Women have, in my lifetime, come a long way in being equals in the office. I think that that's a good, strong thing. I don't think they should have to do it at the expense of men just because men are men. But being strong and intentional. And what's funny?
I'm just sitting here. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
strong and intentional.
Yeah.
No, it's just like as a guy.
Ryan's
like,
going,
we're
she's
sitting,
doing it again.
We're women. Sitting here like, what do you want? And now you're saying we've come to a point in society where the girls are just like, we want this. And
well,
guys like, okay.
I'm not really even specifically talking about in relationships with men. That's a different element. I'm just talking about when you want something, you should go for it and you should be intentional about it. You should be decisive about it. You should not, the number one thing to not do is just wait and hope that it happens. Don't sit around and wait on something to just happen to you and then be sad or mad when it's not happening to you. Because if you can make it happen, have the confidence to go out there and do something and try, and maybe you fail, and then you can try again. It seems to me like that's something that we should champion, and I don't, women, like the whole feminist movement has gotten us to a place where now men are just, like Ryan always jokingly says, as a man,
first I want to say I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Then, and then whatever point.
It's just very ridiculous to raise women in that world where men are inferior just because they're men, but you're sure as heck not going to be in your right mind if you think I'm going to raise my son to live that way.
It's just disappointing that we've gotten to the point where so much of American, not society, I would say individuals, look at the outward characteristics of a person as the most important thing about them. That is the exact opposite of what I was taught for most of my childhood as we were moving through the 80s and 90s. And now we've come the opposite way from progressives to get us to where we're back at looking at just the outward characteristics.
I just look at each week that passes and knowing that we have 88 days until the election happens and there are people who are going to be in panic mode in different forms for the next, it's going to be minute by minute. And that so much is going to happen. It feels like Tim Walz has been a part of my life for a decade.
Doesn't it? Brad said at the beginning of the show, right before we were starting, he goes, man, I was putting together What Did I Miss? And clips from Monday, I can't even play because they're about who is going to be the VP pick for Kamala. That's how recent it was.
Well, you know, I think that sometimes these news stories and these news cycles weigh us down. I just want to remind you, we talked about this a little bit earlier. I'm going to start uploading a short. It's not going to be long, but this one I think was a little over 11 minutes long. A reflection that involves my Christian faith and just thoughts that I have on, or reminders that I have to myself on what I need to ground myself in. And I think that the prevailing thing that people feel right now is worry and anxiety over what's going to happen because we don't know. And I think that, you know, we talked about polls today. Ryan made me do it. We talked about polls today and they all look a little bit in favor of Harris, but I don't look at that because I have my own lens with which I look at polls. And I think to myself, actually think that considering all the positivity surrounding Kamala Harris right now, if this is as high as she got, this is actually pretty good. But I could also turn that on its head and worry about the whole thing the whole time because I can't control it. And when I talk to people, we talked about discussing politics out in the open with people personally or whatever. The one thing I want to encourage people to do is to not worry. And so I'm uploading a podcast episode to the Annie Fry Show podcast. So if you subscribe to the AFS podcast already, it's there. If you haven't subscribed yet, you should. If you don't want to subscribe to a podcast, you can go to AnnieFryShow.com, F-R-E-Y, AnnieFryShow.com. And there's a playlist on there. It's just as simple as being like, click, play, listen. And that will be live tomorrow morning. You guys should listen to it.
Okay.
You have until 8 or 6 a.m. tomorrow morning to be like, this is a bad idea.
Okay.
Oh.
I'm doing my show at 7.
YouTube live chat poll. Are you a cat or dog person? Ryan?
Dog.
Brad?
Dog.
Annie? Dog. 5% said neither. 15% of our 250 votes, 15% said cat. 28% said both. And 52% of our listening audience. Dog people.
Yeah, you're my dogs.
Yeah, you're our dogs. That's right. Stick around. The Mark Reardon Show coming up next. They announced the Walz thing. Was that this week?
Tuesday.
Tuesday?
Yeah, it's been 3 days.
It's been 84 years. Yeah. What happens next week? What's the big story next week?
I think the big story is that one of us is going to pass out from exhaustion and the other two of us will have to report on it.
Okay. I'm not passing out from exhaustion.
Well, then it'll be me. You guys will have to report on it.
What if we don't? What if we're just like, hey, Abby, come get Ryan.
That seems really insensitive.
It's just, you hear a thump and I reach over and mute his mic and we keep going.
Ryan's laying on the floor over there going like this.
But I adjust the camera to tilt downward first just to be sure that you guys see it. Because I'm really just doing it for attention.
I don't know. Ryan just said the story on Friday last week and he said we're supposed to ignore it. So...
While you guys are talking,
I mean, aren't we at a place now in the bazillion ways that you can communicate where if you got something to say, if you need something, boy, am I working on teaching my girls this. Because when I remember growing up and girls were supposed, there was kind of a, I think, a self assumed thing about girls, you shouldn't necessarily be forward and open and asking about things that you want. This kind of like a feministic way to look at society, but I think that there's something to that. Women have, in my lifetime, come a long way in being equals in the office. I think that that's a a good, strong thing. I don't think they should have to do it at the expense of men just because men are men. But being strong and intentional and what's funny?
I'm just sitting here. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
He's like strong
and intentional.
Yeah.
No, it's just like as a guy.
Ryan's
like,
going.
We're sitting,
doing it again.
We're sitting here like, what do you want? And now you're saying we've come to a point in society where the girls are just like, we want this. And
well,
guys like, okay.
I'm not really even specifically talking about in relationships with men. That's a different element. I'm just talking about when you want something, you should go for it and you should be intentional about it. You should be decisive about it. You should not. The number one thing to not do is just wait and hope that it happens. Don't sit around and wait on something to just happen to you and then be sad or mad when it's not happening to you. Because if you can make it happen, have the confidence to go out there and do something and try, and maybe you fail, and then you can try again. It seems to me like that's something that we should champion, and I don't, women, like the whole feminist movement has gotten us to a place where now men are just, like Ryan always jokingly says, as a man,
first I want to say I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Then, and then whatever point.
It's just very ridiculous to raise women in that world where men are inferior just because they're men, but you're sure as heck not going to be in your right mind if you think I'm going to raise my son to live that way.
It's just disappointing that we've gotten to the point where so much of American, not society, I would say individuals, look at the outward characteristics of a person as the most important thing about them. That is the exact opposite of what I was taught for most of my childhood as we were moving through the 80s and 90s. And now we've come the opposite way from progressives to get us to where we're back at looking at just the outward characteristics.
I just look at each week that passes and knowing that we have 88 days until the election happens and there are people who are going to be in panic mode in different forms for the next, it's going to be minute by minute. And that so much is going to happen. It feels like Tim Walz has been a part of my life for a decade.
Doesn't it? Brad said at the beginning of the show, right before we were starting, he goes, man, I was putting together What Did I Miss? And clips from Monday, I can't even play because they're about who is going to be the VP pick for Kamala. That's how recent it was.
Well, you know, I think that sometimes these news stories and these news cycles weigh us down. I just want to remind you, we talked about this a little bit earlier. I'm going to start uploading a short. It's not going to be long, but this one I think was a little over 11 minutes long. A reflection that involves my Christian faith and just thoughts that I have on, or reminders that I have to myself on what I need to ground myself in. And I think that the prevailing thing that people feel right now is worry and anxiety over what's going to happen because we don't know. And I think that, you know, we talked about polls today. Ryan made me do it. We talked about polls today and they all look a little bit in favor of Harris, but I don't look at that because I have my own lens with which I look at polls. And I think to myself, actually think that considering all the positivity surrounding Kamala Harris right now, if this is as high as she got, this is actually pretty good. But I could also turn that on its head and worry about the whole thing the whole time because I can't control it. And when I talk to people, we talked about discussing politics out in the open with people personally or whatever. The one thing I want to encourage people to do is to not worry. And so I'm uploading a podcast episode to the Annie Fry Show podcast. So if you subscribe to the AFS podcast already, it's there. If you haven't subscribed yet, you should. If you don't want to subscribe to a podcast, you can go to AnnieFryShow.com, F-R-E-Y, AnnieFryShow.com, and there's a playlist on there. It's just as simple as being like, click, play, listen. And that will be live tomorrow morning. You guys should listen to it.
Okay.
You have until 8 or 6 a.m. tomorrow morning to be like, this is a bad idea.
Okay.
Oh.
I'm doing my show at 7.
YouTube live chat poll. Are you a cat or dog person? Ryan?
Dog.
Brad?
Dog.
Annie? Dog. 5% said neither. 15% of our 250 votes, 15% said cat. 28% said both. And 52% of our listening audience. Dog people.
Yeah, you're my dogs.
Yeah, you're our dogs. That's right. Stick around. The Mark Reardon Show coming up next.